walk holy and obedient to my word, because I am coming soon. I am coming quickly. Is that what he said? He told us thousands of years ago he was going to send his son to the earth. And we sat around for 4,000 years and waited for his coming. He ain't coming. Did he come? Yeah, just like he said. 4,000 years later, 2,000 years ago, he came to this earth just like he said. And most people didn't ever believe it, did they? But he said, I'm coming back. Do you think he's coming back? Yes, he's coming back. And I think we're right there right now. I mean, it's going to happen. Like I say, if he's not reigning and ruling in Jerusalem in somewhere between 7 and 10 years, I am going to be so surprised. I'm going to say, God, I missed it. But I don't think I'm missing it. I'm convinced it's going to happen. Some of y'all are right there with me, I know. Hey, yeah, praise God. Yeah. He's going to judge this world. He's in the process of it right now. When I saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to the baptism, he said, oh, you generation of vipers, who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come? So technically speaking, there is not today. This is the one thing I see wrong with everything we're doing. Nobody, almost nobody, is warning the church and the world that we're under judgment from God and the wrath is going to come. We don't believe that, do we, Bill? We really don't believe that these things, I mean, when Katrina come, you didn't hear nobody say, oh, we had a judgment from God. No, let's send somebody down there, you know, to figure out why these things happen. You know, maybe we can build a bigger wall. When we get a hold of who God is, then we learn to pray and walk in obedience to his word. Then, as if we could all as a people, and not the whole world, just the church. If the church would walk totally, completely holy and obedient to his word, we wouldn't have these kind of things. Amen. He would make the earth at peace with us and with him, and we would have a great time to live until he does come back. And then he would come back right quick. But the reason all these things are happening, because we're not doing what he said. He said, bring forth therefore fruits fit for repentance. In other words, if you're really a Christian, and you ask lots of people, are you a Christian? Yeah, I'm a Christian. Did you go to church today? No. Why? Well, it was a pretty day. I went to the lake today. I'm okay. Oh, did Jesus tell you to go to church? Yes. Yes, he did. Well, but did you love your wife today? Well, no, but I'll tell her once in a while I love her. She knows I love her. No, he told you to love her. He told you to tell her that all the time. He told you to be a good boy. Didn't he, Tom? He tells us what to do. And we don't do it often enough. Honey, I love you. Tell her again, praise the Lord. But these things are coming. Bring forth, therefore, fruit fit for repentance. If we really are a child of God, how should we fit into society? What should we look like as a Christian? What should we look like?
Jesus.
Look like Jesus. We ought to be walking in love, talking to people, telling people we shouldn't be ashamed about Jesus for nothing. You know, we ought to just be telling them and, you know, and say, and one of the things that I remember talking about up there in the meeting when I was talking about things, I said, we have an idea in our mind from what we've heard preachers say from the pulpits or on television, what we think God is like. And I said, those are traditions. And I said, most of the time, what we think God is and how he works does not line up with his word. Oh, we hear this, you know, God's a God of love. He loves you. He would never do anything to hurt you. Never. That's not the word of God. Next couple of verses. And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham as our father, for I say unto you that God is able to make these stones, out of these stones, to raise up children under Abraham. I mean, but after all, I'm a Christian. You know, I say I'm a Christian. I belong to Jesus. Yeah, but I mean, Thurman, but you're lying all the time. Oh, well, God will forgive me. You know, I go out of town on business trips once in a while, and you know, I get lonely when I go out of town. Surely God wouldn't mind if I slept with one or two girls while I was out of town. My wife would never know. Is that fruit according to a Christian? That's rotten fruit. That's exactly right, Tom. That's rotten fruit. And God will judge you. And then you wonder why that guy's sick all the time. You know, I've told this story before, but I run into a lady the other day, very, very beautiful lady, older lady. And I said, as I talked to her, I said, "Are you married?" She said, "Well, I was." And I said, "You're a very attractive lady." I said, "How old are you?" "Oh, 75. I said, "How long were you married?" And she told me how many years. And I said, "Well, how long ago did your husband die?" She said, "About 20. I said, "Wow, you're 75. Was he about the same age you are?" "Yeah, a year older than me." "Okay," I said, started computing. "That means he died about 55, 56. I said, "Let me just ask you a question. I hope you don't mind if I get personal with you. I said, I have a healing ministry, and I like to put data together. And I just wonder, did your husband, was he really a Christian?" "Oh, yeah," she said, "he was. He went to church with me all the time. He was a good Christian." I said, "I'm really going to get personal with you now." I said, "Did your husband, in all the years you and him were married, did he ever commit adultery on you?" He said, "Yeah, twice. Twice." So the first time our daughter found out about it when she was about 18 years old and said she read her daddy the riot act. He promised her beyond a shadow of a doubt he would never do that again. So she said, "I forgave him." But said it wasn't long. I don't think their daughter ever learned about it the second time. But she said, "I found out about it. He did it at least one more time." And I said, "After the second time, how long was it after that before he died?" She said, "About 2 years." Do you see any connection in this like I do? When God says, "I personally will judge every case of sexual immorality in the church." Who do you think judged him? Why did he die at 55, 56? God killed him because of his sin of adultery to his wife. Did God say one man, one woman forever? Don't you dare commit adultery. Is that what he says, Bill? I mean, no adultery. It's not allowed in the church, is it? So if we do it, what's going to be the consequence? It could be death. 56 years old. How would you like to have been that guy? He was a Christian. How would you like to have been him and stood before the king at 56? And he said, "I had to bring you home because of your adultery. You're not getting a single reward. You better be glad you have the blood of Jesus to cover you, because if it wasn't for this, you would be in hell." Wow. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the tree. Now who's the tree? We are. That's absolutely right. We read that and don't realize he's talking about us. We're the trees. He said, "Now also the axe is laid at the root of the tree." If you go out there and you put that axe on the root of that tree, what are you fixing to do? You're fixing to cut that booger down. You're going to kill it. You're going to cut it down. He said, "Now then the axe is laid at the fruit ever." He said, "And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree," how many? All of them. "Every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is cut down." And where's it put? Do you want to be cast into the fire as a child of God? Somebody said, "He would never do that to me." Well, I don't know. I read it in the book. It looked pretty scary to me. So what would be the alternative? If you're not producing good fruit, what do you think you should be start doing? Producing good fruit. Isn't that what you say?
That's right.
Yeah. How many of you like to go out to a tree and you look and you say, "Wow, look at those beautiful peaches." And you go out there and pull one off. It's all mushy and terrible and rotten. And a bird is eating in it and a bug's on it and a big old worm's in it. You going to eat that?
No.
You throw that in the way and you go around here. And you start feeling one that's just right. Ooh, it ain't got no holes in it. That one. Ooh, that one. Beautiful fruit. That's the one you want, isn't it? Now, Jesus is going to do the same thing. He's going to pick the fruit that is good. Otherwise, he said, he's going to take the axe and cut that tree down. And when he brings that fruit, that tree, and cuts it down, if it don't produce good fruit, he's going to cast that tree into the fire. That's plumb scary, folks. That's 11 and 12. "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not even worthy to bear, he shall baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Wow. We're talking about our Jesus there. I mean, when he baptizes us with the Holy Spirit and fire, my goodness, what a deal here. You know, I will have to say one of the men up there that's a well-known Jerome something. I forget what he's. He's a well-known writer and everything. He was one of the speakers, and he was out of the Catholic Church, and he's still a Catholic, the way I understand it, and he's going to die a Catholic and everything else. But there was somebody went to some, I don't know whether it was a Assembly of God or whatever, somebody's meeting, you know, that believe in the gifts. And somebody prayed for him, and on the way home, he got the infilling power of the Holy Ghost, started speaking in tongues. Now, he's in trouble as a Catholic. Changed his life forever. God had a plan. God used that man mightily. Now then, it says, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor, and he will gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff which with an unquenchable fire. Now, I want to be the good wheat, don't you? I definitely, when he's got that thing down there, and I've been, of course, I've been there and done that, and I've seen those combines when they blow that chaff out the back and the wheat comes in, and when you get there, you don't want any chaff in that wheat. You want this good, clean wheat. And that's what God wants too. Verse 13 and 14. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of you, and you come to me? Now, I can imagine that's the way we would feel too. 15 and 16. And Jesus answered and said unto him, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. And lo, the heavens were open unto him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. Now, let me ask you this question. Why is it every time you see that scene, you always see a white dove descending? Have you ever seen one that shows the Holy Spirit descending like that? You ever see a spirit that looked like Jesus' body that's sailing through the air like a man with arms. You know, the spirit is just exactly like us. And this spirit is just gliding down and just goes right inside of him. Had you ever see that in a movie?
We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast titled, Pray for Protection for You, Your Family, and the Church, in its entirety or any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.